Y'all ready to get into the Word this morning? All right, get ready, all right? I got a word for you this morning. Well, thank you so much for those boots and the gifts and the prayers. It's funny, we keep seeing this dog come and steal our shoes off the porch, and Melanie watched him, and you know, I've got size 13, so it's kind of a weighty boot, and he's just kind of going through the yard, and she tried to catch him, but then he just ran faster, and then my wife gave up. You're not supposed to give up. And that leads us to our message today, when you feel like giving up. It's true. Oh, man. Well, yeah, she was like, your boots are gone, and they never came back. We couldn't get them back. You know, I do want to share with you this message. We're going to start a new series next month. It's called How Love Works. And I want to encourage you and invite people to come and be a part of that. It's a very evangelistic and outreach-oriented message series to connect with people who are far from God. And so that will start next week. But today, I have a standalone message called When You Feel Like Giving Up. Anybody in here ever feel like giving up? I think all of us have gotten to that point before where we feel like giving up. And how many of you have noticed it's easier to start something than it is to finish it? You ever notice this? I mean, it's easier to start a diet, right? Or it's easier to start a house project, some kind of project on your home, than it is to finish it. Or it's easier to say, you know, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to get me a new outfit. You know, at New Year's, we always see this. People get all these new outfits, and they're ready to roll their new exercise program, kind of looking like this up here on the screen. Let's see if we can get... So we kind of look like that, ready to roll. This looks like Chad Bixler with a little extra hair on the top. And, you know, I'm one of those corny people. I always do like a New Year's resolution. This is what I'm going to do this year kind of thing. But it's really easy to get started on something. It's not always easy to finish. And why is that? How many of you ever heard of the Yukon Arctic Ultra? Ever heard of that race? Very few people have. It's like kind of like the Iditarod, okay? This is through the Arctic. It's supposed to be, it's considered one of the most difficult races in all the world. It's a 300-mile competition through some of the roughest terrain in the world, under the roughest conditions in the world, right, in the Arctic. And they get to choose one of three things. They can use a fat bike, that's the bike that has the fat wheels, you know. They can use cross-country skis, or they can just go on foot. But most of them choose foot by foot because they have to carry those things back if they finish the race. They have to finish the race with those items, and so. But then you have to carry this sled behind you, pulling behind you, and again you have to go through this difficult terrain. 14 hours a day in the Arctic. 14 hours a day is in the dark, and just the conditions will kill you. But yet, 85 people signed up to do this year. Are they crazy? An Italian racer last year got frostbite on both hands and both feet and had to have his hands and feet amputated. Just to show you how difficult it is. And most people who start the race never finish it. And as I thought about this race, I thought about life, right? And I thought about, you know, it's kind of like life. Life is kind of lots of ups and downs, lots of challenges. You can imagine someone involved in that race. There's good times, I'm sure. The starry skies, seeing the animals out in the open plain. You know, just different things. I'm sure that there were some good times, but there were some very difficult times too. And it's just sort of a picture of life, full of ups and downs. Good times and bad. And there's days when you wonder, what am I doing? And there's days when you wonder, why am I doing this? Nobody gets out of life without suffering, without going through setbacks and trials, right? And here's the reality. Nobody gets out alive, right? We all have an expiration date in this world. And so I can imagine at the beginning of the Yukon race, These guys are so excited. They're getting all their gear together. That's the exciting part, right? Shopping, getting all their gear, getting prepped up and ready, getting their sled ready. And it's always exciting at the beginning, but it's easier to start something than it is to finish it. And because we encounter setbacks, right? And we encounter difficulties, and setbacks leave us feeling defeated and make us want to quit. They make us want to give up when we get pushback. But here's the reality. The reality is setbacks are a part of life, right? And they're an important part of life. And no one wants setbacks, and no one wants difficulties, but those are the things that are necessary to shape you. I'm going to say that again. The setbacks and the difficulties and the pressure and the strain of life is what you need to shape you into the person that God intends for you to be. And they make us better. And the worst thing that we can do is not let our kids experience the difficulties of life. Can I get an amen in here? Okay. So the worst thing we can do is not let them experience the difficulties of life and then send them out into adulthood and them not know how to handle the difficulties of life. And that's how God is. God uses these situations, these difficulties to build us, to build our character and to make us more resilient. And too many of us live our lives expecting things to always go smoothly. I hope that they go smoothly, right? I want them to go smoothly, but I have to say I don't expect them to always go smoothly. Nothing's wrong when things go wrong. That's just part of life. It's just part of life. But you don't have the problems you have and not learn from them. And there's a lot of people out there who say, well, you know, you don't understand my problems. My problems are greater. I've got a more difficult past, or I'm going through greater trials than most people go through. And I think that this is why God puts Job right in the middle of our Bible, to remind us, right? You know the story of Job, right? Job loses his children. He loses his home. He loses his livelihood, his farm animals, his servants. He finds himself, his body filled with boils and sores. Everything's ripped from him, and it didn't take 5 years for that to happen. This happened in a matter of days. All of these things came rushing in. All of this pain in life came rushing into his life. And here's the thing, Job made it through. As a matter of fact, here was his attitude. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was his attitude. And it was because of the faith that Job had that helped him to endure. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that how you handle setbacks determines your future. And what you do when you feel like giving up will determine how your future plays out. It's just so true. Turn with me. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're going to see on the screen it says 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That's a typo. I'm known for typos, okay? It's best that I send things through my wife so she can correct all my typos, but I don't do that. I still have not learned that lesson yet. But anyway, so we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Paul's second letter to the church. Now keep this in mind. Corinth, this city that he's writing to this church in the city of Corinth. Corinth is a very depraved place, very dark, immoral, difficult place to live, difficult for believers to live in. The pressure, and one of the things he deals with in the first letter is all of the cultural influence on the church, okay? But with the second letter, he's dealing with these false teachers. It's one of the things he's dealing with is false teachers. And all these problems, and these false teachers are putting a lot of pressure on he and the other apostles. And they're making things difficult. They're causing setbacks, right? And they're making things difficult. And I love what Paul says as we kind of prep for chapter 4. In chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, he says, the confidence we have is through Christ. Listen to this. He says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. And then he goes on and he speaks of this hope that they have in Christ. And he says this in verse 12 of chapter 3. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. So he says our confidence is found in Christ. He says our sufficiency is found in Christ. Our boldness is through Christ. In chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, we do not lose heart. And then he repeats that again in chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to see this in a little bit, but he repeats that again in verse 16. We do not lose heart. And what he's saying is we might get beaten down, but nothing can get us so low that we give up and lose heart. Nothing can take us that low. I love that. And what is it that keeps them going? What is it? I'm sure at times they felt like giving up when you know that what Paul went through. Paul was thrown in prison. He was beaten several times. Every city that he went into, he was the enemy of the city. And so what kept him going? Well, look what he says. We're going to move in now to chapter 4, verse 7. He says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And so here's what Paul says. There is a great treasure inside of you. If you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're walking in salvation, and you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you have this treasure inside of you. Well, what is this treasure? Well, he says it in verse 6, and in short, this treasure is the life-transforming work of Jesus Christ. It's the life-transforming work of Jesus Christ. It's inside of you, and it's this great treasure, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the great treasure. Colossians 2, verse 9, it says this, the fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and Christ is in you. In Colossians 2, 3, it says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To the hope of glory, Christ Jesus in you, you have access to all the wisdom and knowledge, and that treasure, it's inside of you. And today, we're going to take a look at three important truths, just three important truths. And number one, the first truth that we're going to come to realize is this, we are fragile. We are fragile. Turn to your husband and say, you are fragile. That's a joke. That's the last thing they want to hear. I'm not fragile. Come on. but listen, we are all fragile. We are all fragile. He says we are merely jars made of clay. And the Greek word there means baked clay. And this was common, this pottery was common during this time. But here's the thing, listen to this. This pottery was cheap, it was breakable, it was replaceable, but it was absolutely necessary. I'm going to say it again. This pottery, it was cheap, it was breakable, it was replaceable, but it was absolutely necessary. And here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, you are the clay. You are these clay pots. You are these fragile pieces of clay, but you are absolutely necessary. And inside of you is this treasure, this great treasure. So my question to God is, how come you didn't make us out of steel, right? Why fragile clay pots? Why are we so fragile? And then he answers that question in verse 7, because of the surpassing power belongs to God, not you, not us. And so we're these clay pots, we're these clay vessels, and the important thing is what's inside of you, this great treasure, this life-transforming work of Jesus Christ. The greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, right? And so listen, this treasure inside of Paul and inside of his companions, the other apostles, this is the same treasure that's inside of you. It transforms us. It empowers us. This leads us to our next important point here, okay? So we are fragile, but he is powerful, number two. He is powerful. That's the second important truth. And this is why we are more than conquerors, right? In Christ Jesus, that's what it says in 1 John. This is why we're more than conquerors. The power to overcome is found in him, not us. See, and you'll notice this theme constantly. Paul talks about this perseverance, right? That believer, the perseverance of the saints. It's spoken of a lot in Paul's letters. And this perseverance that we have, it's one of the indicators that we have put our trust in Jesus and we're relying on him. So it's an indicator that this is a person who really relies on God. It's their perseverance. It really stands out how they persevere. And here's another indicator, those who overcome. John talks a lot about this. In 1 John, he mentions it several times. In the book of Revelation, he mentions it many times. Those who are overcomers. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5:5 says this, who is it that overcomes the world except the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Those are the ones who overcome the world. What does that mean? Overcome the pressures and the difficulties and the troubles of the world. And you might say, you just don't understand. I'm more of an emotional person, and I struggle. I struggle with this life, and I struggle more than other people do. Or you might not. You just don't understand. I don't handle things like other people do. Look, I do understand. If anyone understands, I understand. I do this a lot. Like on Wednesday nights, we'll talk about this, and I'll separate people into three categories: thinkers, feelers, and doers. I'm the feeler. Okay. And there are people who are thinkers. They primarily think. We're all thinkers, feelers, and doers, but one of them rises to the top, right? And so I'm more of the feeler. And so I'm more inclined to feel my way through decision-making. Not good, y'all. This is not good, okay? Not good. It's not good when I am confronted with trials to feel my way through the decision-making inside of my trials. You see what I mean? And so listen, God factors in whatever kind of personality you have, and he just says, you have to trust me, okay? And there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Well, you just don't understand the type of person that I am. Yes, I do. God does too. And you just don't know what I've been through. Well, remember Job, right? Remember what he's been through. For every believer in here, the real issue will always remain, am I relying on my power or am I relying on God's power? That's going to be the real issue at hand. The surpassing power of God is always greater than your power and your strength. You are merely a clay pot, right? You're fragile, you're breakable, you're replaceable, but you're absolutely necessary for God's mission on earth. Absolutely necessary. He has you here for a reason. And don't use your fragileness as an excuse not to overcome, because you don't do it with your strength anyway. You're not gonna be able to achieve it in your strength anyway. And so here's the deal. The three important truths. We're fragile. God is powerful. He is powerful. And number three is we must rely on him. We're fragile. He's powerful. We must rely on him. Look what it says. Verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That means you. And this means those who are in Christ, those who are in Christ. You might still experience affliction, but you are not crushed. It doesn't reach that level, y'all. It just doesn't reach that level. Why? Because you have put your trust in him. You're living by faith, and you're operating and you're functioning in his power, not your own. Do you see how this works? See how this works? And so even though I am afflicted, look, Jesus says in this world you're going to have trouble, right? So you're going to have trouble, and you're going to have affliction, and you're going to have difficulty, and just realize that is still going to come even when you're saved. It's still going to come. And so, but even though we are afflicted, we are not crushed. And even though we are perplexed, and that just means I'm confused, I don't know exactly what to do, it says, but you're not driven to the point of despair in your perplexity, right? And then when persecution comes, as he says in verse 9, and begins to press against you because you want to live and you want to do the right thing, but you're so pressured to not do the right thing, and that persecution presses in, he will not forsake you. The whole world may forsake you. We don't know, right? But he will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And you might get struck down still as a believer, but you will not be destroyed because you are an overcomer, because you persevere, because you realize that you are fragile, but he is powerful. And when you rely on him, you're relying on his strength and his power. Amen? So these setbacks, they don't take us as low as they used to take us. They just don't. They don't have the power, the authority to push you down like they used to push you down and destroy you. Why? Because you have a different kind of resilience now, and that resilience is becoming stronger and stronger, and it's not you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so the power comes from inside of you because of what God is doing and transforming your heart and making you rely more on him, more on his power. Are you getting this? Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, who loves us. And listen very carefully, perseverance and overcoming through setbacks and trials are clear indicators that you are relying on God and you're relying on his power and his strength. You're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 10. Paul continues and he says this, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. And so he says, we always carry the death of Jesus in these bodies, the suffering and sacrifice that Jesus made. And this puts our suffering into perspective, right? It puts our suffering in perspective. And so look at verse 11. For we who live are always being given over to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Well, here's what this means. You are continually dying to yourself, dying to your agenda. You're not making the world about you anymore. You're putting Christ at the center of things. You have that kind of that attitude that though he slay me, yet will I follow. Though life presses in, I'm still going to trust him. And it's this shift. It's in, and I'll tell you, with me, it's interesting because this was such a transitioning thing for me as I was growing in this faith. Because I finally got to this point that I was ready to just, I mean, you've heard my story. I, I, I got in touch with all those friends that were I felt like were really just sort of dragging me down. I wrote them all letters. That's what you used to do back in the olden days, write letters. And so I wrote letters to them all, and I just said, I can't be around you anymore. I can't hang out with you anymore. Why? It's because that was a part of my dying to self and peeling away all those things that I thought I needed in my life, all those things I kept on trying to hold on to and live my Christian life with those things. I began to pull away and peel away all of those things that I thought were so necessary. And I invited Jesus in, and he began to empower me to live beyond the circumstances of life. I'm going to say that again, to live beyond the circumstances of life. And this is why when Jesus is at work in you and he's empowering you and you're relying on him, you can love the most difficult people in the world. I'm convinced of this. And you can forgive the most difficult people in the world. Because what happens is you begin to pull yourself away from all the matters of this world and put your heart where it belongs in your heavenly home. Look what he says in verse 16. So we do not lose heart. I think what Paul is saying is, here's one thing we don't do, is all these things may be against us, but here's one thing we don't do. We don't lose heart. We might be persecuted. We might experience all these different strains and pressures, but we will not be overcome because we do not lose heart. Look what he says, verse 16. Though our outer self is wasting away, this is the clay pot, right? This is the fragile part of us. This is these earthly vessels. This is just a container, right? This beautiful body that you see right here is just a container. It's just a temporary container, all right? Some of you are like, hallelujah, it's a temporary container, right? And so God puts you inside of this temporary container, this clay fragile vessel, right? And then you start moving around on this earth, and you continue to move out around on this earth for about 82 years, give or take a few years, okay? And then it's over. Because this life is preparation for the life to come, right? And that's all this life is preparation to come. When you shift and get that perspective, you begin to handle the matters of this world a little bit differently, okay? That this life is about the life to come. It's about preparing for the life to come. And so he says, though these outer selves are wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Here's what this means. We're these fragile clay pots, but inside of us, there is a powerful work going on. Inside of us, there's a greater joy. There's a greater hope that anything outside that's happening in this world, any darkness, any pressure, and all these kinds of things, they don't affect us so much because what's happening inside of us is it's growing and it's renewing and it's becoming greater and greater every day. And again, I can live beyond this world. I can live like Jesus. I used to read the life of Jesus and go, wow, how is that even possible, what he's doing, loving his enemy and doing the things that just go completely against the flesh. He's not living in the flesh. He's not living like humans, right? He's not living as flawed, sinful humans. He's relying on God and the work of God in his life, right? And he's putting that on display in a perfect way. But we're not perfect. These outer shells are wasting away, but the inside are renewing, and we're getting better and better, and we're growing, and we're strengthening, and we're maturing. Verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So fragile clay, inside of you is the power of God, and he's changing you, he's transforming you and renewing you and preparing you for the life to come. And this life is withering away. And during this time, during this stay on the little blue ball in the middle of space, okay, during your little stay here, you experience what he calls light momentary afflictions. And so what he does, he puts our afflictions and our difficulties into a heavenly perspective, and they shrink to the size of a BB, okay? And he calls them light momentary afflictions. And you might be saying today, look, Pastor Scott, I'm going through the most difficult time in my life. I wouldn't call them light momentary afflictions. Look, the matters of this world are fleeting. This is what he's saying. And it's difficult. And you'll experience the pressure. But as these pressures come, you are not defeated, you are not destroyed, because the power that exists inside of you is greater than any pressure the world could put on you. He says it's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. This is an eternal matter. It's an issue of eternity, and it's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You can't even compare it. Verse 18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. This is why we walk by faith, not by sight, right? So we're looking now, and look, if you just keep your eyes fixed on the things that are seen, you're going to live in fear, right? Because there's all kinds of things that come against you that'll cause you to fear and stir up your fears. But we don't fix our eyes on that as believers. We fix on our eyes on the unseen, and I've used this one a lot of times, but I'm not going to stop, okay? Life is more spiritual than you think. And just when you think life is spiritual, remember, it's even more spiritual than that. So we fix our eyes on the unseen and the things that God tells us and the hope that we have, for the things that are seen are transient, right? They will one day fade away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Invest in the unseen. Amen? So let's go back through these three things one more time. Number one, three important truths. Number one, we're fragile. He calls us jars of clay, right? Number two, he's powerful. And listen, he lives inside of you, and his power is a surpassing power. His surpassing power will empower you to live out this life and live out this truth. And then finally, is we must rely on him. We're fragile, he's powerful, we must rely on him. Are you relying on him today? I sure hope that you are. I'm gonna ask the praise team to come up. God is aiming to shape you from the inside out. That's the work. Are you letting go enough of your agenda and your plan and your way of doing things? That's a key right there, right? Your way of doing things, the old way of doing things. Are you letting that go so he can do his great work inside of you? Let's pray. Well, we thank you for the work that you do in the hearts of your people, and we're just continually grateful for it and how you empower us, Lord. And when we feel like giving up, Father, you're the one that empowers us. I pray your power and your strength over every person in this room, that you'll move us into the kind of faith that causes us to be overcomers, that we can pass the test and have a great future for ourselves. Help us to persevere through the trials because we're trusting in you and relying on you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand together. I think the song is just such a good reminder.